Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 13 through 18 this morning. You know what? Let's stand. Let's stand as we read Galatians 5, starting with verse 13. Please follow along as I read. Paul says this to the Galatian believers. He says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, we just pray that, Holy Spirit, that you would be the teacher this morning. As I stand up here and look at each person who is here, I know that I'm not worthy. But because of the debt that you paid, Jesus, you make us worthy. So as we take a look at Galatians 5 this morning, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work in my heart, that you would work in the heart of each one who's here this morning, that your word would be clear, that your work would be done. We pray in Christ's name, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. So I'm sure all of you realize this past Tuesday, our country celebrated a birthday, 230 years. It's hard to believe. I can remember when we celebrated the 200th anniversary in 1976. I can remember the parade. I can remember the jets flying overhead. I mean, it's one of those experiences that I'll never forget. I'm sure we had more than our fill of hamburgers and hot dogs and fireworks this week than we care to imagine. But you know, one thing when it comes to holidays, I find more and more, especially with something like Independence Day and even Memorial Day, things like that, these holidays were set up so that we would remember something. But I know that so often in my selfishness and in myself, I totally forget what they're about. I think, oh yeah, this is the holiday where we go swimming and we eat hamburgers and hot dogs and we watch fireworks, right? Isn't that what it's all about? And always around July 4th, you know, that's when Wimbledon takes place. You know, isn't that what July 4th is? No, July 4th is about a group of men who got together to sign a declaration. A declaration of independence. And it's a great day in the United States, but we forget about it. What is the Declaration of Independence all about? And there were 13 colonies. They declared their independence against England. You know, they'd taken all that they could take from England. England was controlling them. You know, you've all heard the phrase, taxation without representation. England wanted the money, but the colonies couldn't rule. England ruled from across the sea and said, this is how it's going to be. Just give me the money. And these men, as they signed this declaration, said, you know what? Enough is enough. We're not going to take it anymore. We are going to declare our independence, our freedom. One of the lines in the declaration reads this. It says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. These men, this country, they were willing to do whatever it would take to be free. The 13 colonies couldn't take it anymore, so they declared their independence. I want to talk this morning about our independence, our freedom. You know, how free are we? How free are we in our Christian lives? So many times we live in bondage and slavery to sin. Sin becomes like this noose around our neck that we can't get rid of. It becomes like that millstone that we just drag around and we can't get rid of. We're in bondage to it because we forget the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Paul in Galatians 5, in his letter, he's writing to the believers here. And he wants to remind them of the freedom that they have in Jesus Christ. But much like those in the colonies in 1776, these believers found themselves in bondage. These Galatian believers found themselves in bondage, just like those who did back in 1776. So the first thing I want to look at this morning is the cost of freedom. Freedom costs something. You know, you think of freedom, you think the American way. You know, it's the old Burger King commercial, have it your way. You know, I'm going to have it my way. That's what the United States is all about, right? It's about my way, what I want. Isn't that what freedom is? Freedom is about me. That's what freedom is, right? No. Paul says in verse 13, he says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." You know, you think back to those men who signed the Declaration of Independence. In a way, they were signing their death warrant. They were signing their death warrant for themselves, for their family, and for a country. Tell me freedom doesn't cost something? Think of the lives that paid with their blood so that you and I can live here in the United States of America today. Think about it. That's what July 4th is about. It's about remembering. You know, when we think of freedom, we think of ourselves. You know, what can I get out of this? What's in it for me? That's what we want to know, without thinking of others. You know, the Galatian believers found themselves in a dilemma. Some of them were being pressured by the Judaizers. Now, this was a very interesting group of individuals. Their biggest drum that they beat was about circumcision. Circumcision, that's what had to take place in order for you to believe in Jesus Christ. If you weren't circumcised, then guess what? You weren't a believer. That's what they were telling them. So they had that on one side. Then on the other side, Paul says, don't use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature, in the flesh. There was another group of people who were saying, you know what, I'm not going to be circumcised. You know what? I know Christ, so I'm just going to live however I want. So you had these two groups of people in this church. And Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians to bring unity to this fellowship. How did he do it? You know, I think one thing we need to watch is if someone says to us, you need blank, and then you can accept Jesus Christ. That's legalism. I've experienced it. I'm not going to stand up here and bash any schools or bash any denominations. That's not the point of this morning. We've probably all experienced at one time or another a form of legalism. It could be a version of the Bible. It could be dressing and acting and listening to the right music, whatever the right music is. You know what's funny? Out of everyone who's here this morning, if we asked a couple hundred people, what's the right music? You know what? We'd have a couple hundred different answers. If someone says you need something before you can come to Christ, or you need Jesus Christ plus something else, that's wrong. All you need is Jesus. Jesus is the one who gives us freedom. And that's dangerous. If we've experienced that before, we know what it's like. The Judaizers were saying that they must be circumcised in order to believe. And Paul said, you know what? You're wrong. In verse 6, he says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value." Doesn't matter. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The problem with freedom is that as humans, we struggle with our flesh because we think freedom is all about us, about what we want. It's about doing whatever I please. You know, there's a misconception with freedom, that freedom in Christ allows me to do what I want. I experienced this probably about 10 years ago in my life. And there was a time when I was walking away from the Lord. And I've been saved since June 7th, 1970. So it's been quite a while. I'm 42 years old, so you can do the math. And there was a time about 10 years ago when I was falling away from the Lord, and that's what it boiled down to, was my heart. And I was doing, you know, I got into drinking, you know, this social drinking thing, you know, because it's my freedom in Christ, right? So I'm going to do it. So I did. And what did I do? The sinful nature took over. And I indulged. Paul says, don't use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Indulge literally means like a springboard or a base of operations. He says, don't use that as your base of operations. That springboard into doing what you want with your flesh. And I did that. And to my shame, I even got drunk once. I'd never been drunk in my life until about 10 years ago. Embarrassing. Say, I can't believe you did that. I did. I used my freedom in Christ to indulge in my own sinful nature. I was saying, you know what? I'm saved. I can do whatever I want. I got my fire insurance. You know what? I accepted Christ. I'm not going to hell. So I'll just do, I'll do whatever the hell I want. Excuse me for saying that, but that was my mind. That was my mind. I'll do whatever I want. That's wrong. We think that our freedom is about us. Paul says, you know what? It isn't. Your freedom's about everyone else. You see, they had a problem with the law. You know, the law is restrictive, isn't it? The Bible says the law is our schoolmaster. It controls us. You know, it's like when we go out of here today, if it says 45 miles an hour and we go 55 and we get a ticket, I can't believe it. Man, I have freedom in Christ, but what's the deal? The law is restrictive, isn't it? It restricts us. The law is about us. Think about the law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. The law is about us. What is freedom and grace about? It's about everyone else. Paul says, don't use your freedom to indulge in the fleshly, the sinful nature. He says, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Man, you know what? The law doesn't look so bad. You know what it means to serve one another in love? What does it mean to be a servant? It literally means to be a slave. How many want to sign up to be a slave this morning? Come on. Let's do it. There'll be a sign-up sheet at the information desk on your way out. Sign up to be a slave. He says, serve one another in love. You know what? It takes the focus off of me. And it puts the focus on everyone else. That's what true freedom is. You heard these young ladies and young men who went to New Orleans. They experienced true freedom this week. They were serving one another in love. It wasn't about them. And I'm sure the sleeping conditions weren't great. Food was probably okay. The working conditions weren't great. But it was about serving one another in love. It wasn't about them. Freedom means serving each other, pouring our lives into each other, investing in each other. That's what true freedom is. Paul says this in Galatians 6, 2. He says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Could you imagine if we actually bared one another's burdens? What would it look like? If we actually cared enough for each other to bear each other's burdens. When someone's struggling, when someone's going through a hard time physically or financially or spiritually, what do we do? We say, you know, I'm praying for you, brother. And we go on with our life. I'm praying for you, sister. Keep the faith. You know, or do we get involved in someone's life? Do we come alongside them and put our arm around them and say, I love you. How can I help you out? What can I do for you? That's what freedom is. Freedom is involving ourselves in others' lives. And you might be sitting here this morning thinking, well, how in the world can we do this, Roger? You know, great idea. Let's serve each other. How can we do that in this body? This church just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, it's not that church of 200 anymore. How can we be involved in each other's lives? Thanks for asking. I'm going to tell you. Couple practical suggestions. I love being practical. Let's be practical. How can we be involved in each other's lives? You may say, well, I don't even know the guy sitting next to me or the girl sitting next to me. I don't know 10 people in the room. How in the world do I get to know them? Let me tell you. A couple of practical suggestions. Home fellowships. What a novel idea. Hey, do you even know what a home fellowship is? Let me tell you. Home fellowship is a group of believers who get together twice a month. They spend time in fellowship. You know what fellowship really means? Gluttony. I mean, it's eating. Fellowship is eating. That's what it is. It's fellowship together. It's spending time in prayer. It's spending time in God's Word. That's what home fellowship is. You want to get connected. You want to know people. You want to serve one another. Get in a home fellowship. A home fellowship, we say, is the first line of defense. Because there's close to 1,000 people here now. And when someone has a problem and they're in a home fellowship, you know what that home fellowship does? They come around them. They surround them. That's why we call it the first line of defense. That's a practical way of getting to know others, of being able to serve others. Another way is through ladies and men's ministries. Man, there's a couple of things happening this week. There's women on their own Monday night. There's ladies' Bible study Tuesday night. Come on out. Get involved. Get to know people. You know, we have this misconception sometimes when we come into church. You know, it's about me. I'm coming to church. I expect God and the people around me to bless me. And when that doesn't happen, man, I take up my toys and I go out of the sandbox and I leave because I don't feel at home. Sorry if I'm stepping on your toes. Please send emails to John Hessler. Thank you. But you know, I've been there and done that. You go into a church and you expect. You know, it's like, make me feel welcome. Make me feel loved. And you know what? That should be happening. If it's not, please come and talk to me afterwards. We'll see what the problem is. That should naturally be happening. But if you're sitting here this morning and like just expecting, give me, give me, give me, I want, that's wrong. Because it's about you. It's supposed to be about God. It's supposed to be about those around you. Serve one another in love. I totally lost my place. Where am I? Galatians 5:14. He says, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what? That makes it real easy. That's the law. Summed up in one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. Serving one another ultimately does what slavery to the law cannot do. It fulfills the law if we love one another. Paul sends out a warning in Galatians 5:15. He says, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. You know, the Galatian believers were fighting amongst themselves. They had a group of people, you know, you have to be circumcised. And they would look at people and they would say, oh, you're not circumcised? Well, then how can you be a believer? You ever experienced a church like that before? Oh, his hair touches his ears. I can't believe it. There's no way. You know, we need to pray for his salvation right now. We just pray for this brother that he would go out and get his hair cut right away, Lord, because you know there's no way he can be a believer. You laugh, but it's true. I've experienced it. Some of you have experienced it. That's the law. We need to, if you want to say this, judge each other by how we're serving each other. How are we loving each other? That's what's important. Not with the length of my hair, or if I have an earring, or if I don't. That's a personal preference thing, okay? I'm not going to have one. Some people will, but I won't. I think Josh wants me to, but I won't. It's just not going to happen. I mean, he's my friend, and I love him, but it's not going to happen. He says they were tearing each other to pieces in the church. He says they were biting each other. It's like a snake striking. And you know, it happens so quick. And then the poison hits. They were biting each other. They were devouring each other. I call them Christian cannibals. You know, they were Christian cannibals. They were just eating each other up. You know, reputations were going aside because, man, they were just letting it rip on each other. You know what I find it's easy to do? And I know it's just me. It's so easy to be critical, isn't it? Oh, I'm so good at it, too. I can be so critical of people. I can be so critical of organizations. It's just easy to do. You know what we need to do? Instead of being critical, we need to sit down and write down some positive things about that person or about this organization. What, you know, what's positive about this? My mom always tells me, if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. It's so true. Probably at one time or another, we've experienced church life where we've been bitten. And some of you this morning, I'm sure you could roll up your sleeves and say, you know what, that's where brother so-and-so, see his teeth marks right there? That's where he bit me. Some of you come here this morning damaged by church, by religion. We've experienced it before, and it's painful when we experience that. Hopefully you don't experience that here. We've been beat up. You have the teeth marks to prove it, maybe from a previous church or a situation. You know what? You need to find a safe place. I pray that you find a safe place here, a place of love, a place where people look out for each other. You know what? You may be saying, you know what? This freedom stuff's great, Raj. Thanks. Thanks for sharing it. Serving one another is good, but how does it really happen? Because in my flesh, you know what? Serving one another isn't, you know, it's not easy. It's work. It's a lot easier to live by the law, you know what? Because these are the things I have to do. But serving one another, man, that means I have to be open and vulnerable. I can't hold people away at arm's length. I need to accept them. How in the world do we do it? We do it by living by the Holy Spirit's power. That's how. Paul says this in verse 16. He says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." You know, we get that verse backwards. We all struggle with the sinful nature, don't we? Or maybe just I do. We struggle with the sinful nature, the flesh. We get that verse backwards. What we think is, we think if somehow I can suppress my anger, somehow if I can suppress this addiction, somehow if I can just push it down and just keep it under control, then I can walk in the Spirit. Paul says, no. We get it backwards. He says, walk in the Spirit. Then you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, of the sinful nature. We get it backwards. We like to wrestle with sin. We're in this wrestling match and we're sweating and fighting and striving to try to conquer this sin. But it's not happening. You know, it's like this morning if I were to say, all right, the last thing I want anyone in this room to think about is red balloons. Do not, under any circumstances, think about red balloons. How many are now thinking about red balloons? Okay, you just do, don't you? But if all of a sudden I were to pull out from underneath this pulpit, which I don't have because it would be melting, is a big bowl of ice cream. And it's got chocolate syrup dripping down it, whipped cream and some nuts on top with a little cherry right on top of it. How many are thinking about red balloons? Well, it's gone. Just like that. Because you put something better in front of yourselves. You know, so many times we keep the sin in front of us. We keep the sin piling it in front of us, saying, get out of the way. I'm going to wrestle this. I'm going to conquer it. It's going to happen. You know what we need to get in front of us? We need to get God in front of us. Get Jesus Christ in front of us. Get something better in front of us. He says, live by the Spirit. And you won't live for the flesh. He ties it back to verses 13 through 15. You know, this is a good way to keep division from happening in the church and in the home and in the workplace, is by serving one another. You say, hey, you know what, Roger? You don't live with my husband. Or you don't live with my wife. Or you don't live with my kids. Or trust me, you don't even work with the people I work with. They're just not easy to love. You know, sometimes loving is humanly impossible due to whatever the circumstances might be. In our own power and in our own strength, you know what? We can't do it. Forget it. It's not going to happen. But fortunately, for me and for you, we have the Holy Spirit who gives us power, who gives us what we need to love each other and to care for each other. Galatians 5:17 says this, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." If you haven't realized it yet, you're in a battle. Some of you may be saved only a short period of time, maybe weeks or months. And you know, do you remember back when you were first saved? It was like, yeah, on fire for God. Do you know Jesus? You know, you're telling people about Christ and you're all excited and everything's going. And all of a sudden, fear and doubt comes in. You start wrestling with the flesh. You know what? We're all in a battle. I've been saved for a number of years now. You know what? It doesn't get any easier. I fight every day, every hour of every day with my flesh. You know, that's a good thing, though. You're a child of God if you're fighting against the flesh. If you're not fighting against the flesh, you know what? Maybe you don't know Christ. If it's not a problem, you say, you know what? It's not a problem for me. You know, before we came to Christ, we did those fleshly things. That was our nature. So it didn't bother Satan. He said, go ahead and do whatever you want. I don't care. But as soon as we came to Christ, we became enemies of Satan. And he's going to do everything in his power to take every single one of us down. That's what his job is. It's a battle. But it's not like the battle you see on TV where you have the good angel with the harp sitting on this side in white and you have the bad angel with the pitchfork sitting on this side and one's telling you, do good things, and the other's saying, do bad things. You know, it's not like that. That isn't what it's like. When it comes to sin, there needs to be no negotiation. No one of those things, you know, just one peek or just one drink. Come on. Just one of something. It takes just one of something to become an addict. Just one of something. The Holy Spirit wants to suppress the evil nature in our lives. It needs to be crucified. Verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. We need to put it to death. That flesh, when it raises itself up, we need to put it to death. You might be saying, how in the world can I walk in the Spirit? Let me just give you four practical things on walking in the Spirit. First of all, we need to admit that we have a selfish, sinful nature. We do. Admit it. We all have this fleshly side of us that's disgusting and rotten, and we need to put it to death every day. Paul said, I die daily. That's what he meant. We need to admit that we have that flesh, that sinful nature. Secondly, we need to surrender all of our selfishness to Christ. You know what? He crucified it on the cross. That selfishness, we need to get rid of it. Surrender our selfishness. Thirdly, we need to commit our thoughts, our actions, our passions, our capabilities to Christ. Everything, our thoughts, our attitudes, our speech, our behavior, everything in life needs to be committed to Christ every day. The fourth thing, make serving others a priority in our lives. It takes the thoughts off of us. You know, so many times I get in a pity party for myself. No one here does that. Oh, man. It's just so rough. Woe is me. You know, we need to get the focus off ourselves and get it on those around us, those that are in need. Paul says this in Romans. He says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live it in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I love Paul because he's a bottom line guy. He says, there's no middle of the road. He says, if you're not led by the Spirit, he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's wrap this up. 230 years ago, we declared our independence as a nation. The colonies had taken all they could take, and they wanted to be free. By signing that declaration, it gave them freedom. Freedom came at a cost. How about you? Are you free this morning? Are you free? You know what? Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not free. You're in bondage. You're a slave to sin. If you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, let me encourage you today, come to Jesus. Declare your independence today in Jesus Christ and your dependence on Him. How do you come to Christ? Jesus Christ died for each one of us, for each one of our sins. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Accept Him today. Declare your independence today in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you know what? You know Jesus, but you're like I was about 10 years ago. You were living for yourself. You thought, you know what, man? I'm in freedom. I'm enjoying myself. I know Christ. But you know what? I'm living like the world, doing what I want to do by thinking that I'm free. And all you are is in bondage and slavery to sin. Today's the day to come back to Him. Today's the day to declare your independence and your trust in Jesus Christ. Today's your day to come clean with Jesus and say, you know what? God, forgive me for living for myself. Forgive me for living for myself. Help me from today on to live for others and not for me. Or lastly, maybe you're here this morning and you know what? You're me-focused and you know it. I'm just worried about me. You need the freedom that comes by serving others. You know, we need to do it now. The closing song we're going to sing is, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. You know, today, there's some in this room that need to declare their independence. There's going to be some prayer counselors up here afterwards. If you don't know Christ, let me encourage you, come forward. There'll be prayer counselors here. Guys on the worship team would love to talk to you about Jesus. Maybe you just need to come forward because you know what? You need to declare your freedom in Christ again. You've been living like the world, and you know what? Today's the day to stop. Today's the day to declare your dependence on Jesus Christ again. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You that You paid the price for us. You took care of that penalty of sin. That bondage that we've all experienced, that slavery to sin. And You brought freedom to us in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, for those that need to come to You today, I pray that they would make that decision this morning, that they would declare their independence on Jesus Christ. For those that are running from You and living for the world and for self, that they would come back to You today. And Lord, for those of us who are only concerned about me and my desires and what I want, that we would remember anew and again that Jesus Christ is the one who paid it all. It's nothing that we have done, but only what You have done. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.